the true, full, and perfect knowledge of Him that is being manifested in our hearts, so that our hearts are enlightened with understanding, so that we will know His call upon our lives, Lord. And that calling, we pray, will enable us to realize the anointings and the giftings that will give expression and meaning, O God, to our lives. Will give purpose, O God, and direction, O God, to all that You have purposed for us to realize. We pray that You will manifest in us the character and nature of Jesus, that You will perfect us and form us, O God, in conformance to Christ Jesus, so that we will put on Christ and we will function in the anointings and giftings that You have given us, Lord. We thank You that You mean to build the house of our being through the anointing, O God, of the Spirit of Christ, Lord. We thank You, O God, that this anointing, O God, is going to be fashioned and formed in us, even as His nature and character is worked into us by the Holy Spirit. And we know, O God, that this perfected anointing that is manifested, O God, in the name of Jesus, will be brought alive through the giftings that You have for us. As we seek to understand how You have structured Your giftings, we thank You that all of Your giftings, O God, flow out of the gift that is Christ Himself, Father. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we will realize the giftings that stand expressed in the fullness of Christ Jesus, whose fullness we are all called to realize and unveil in our lives. Bless us, O God, that we will come to understand how it is You mean to manifest, O God, the gift mix that You have chosen to manifest in each one of our lives. And enable us to understand that what seems to be a small beginning today is meant to be developed in all eternity, Father, so that we will have a purpose and a destiny in accordance, O God, with the fact that Your word declares that we are sons of God, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a prophetic people, that we are called to realize through Your word the reality of becoming morning stars, that we are called to realize, O God, a position, O God, of being tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty, so that we will be a blessing to the nations. So enable us, O God, to always remember that we should not despise the day of small beginnings, Lord, because there is so much You have purposed for us in the merits of the Lamb. There is so much You have purposed for us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. There is so much that we can come to know and understand and grow into because You have sent Your Spirit to indwell us in all eternity. And Your Spirit has been charged, O God, with leading us into all truth, Father. All truth that stands, O God, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. We thank You, Father, for what You have designed for each one of us. What You have designed for the body of Christ. What You have designed, O God, in all eternity, in all of our lives. Teach us to see, teach us to know, teach us to understand, and unveil us, O God, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, so that we will always walk by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, in a clear conscience, O God. A clear conscience that testifies to the fact, O God, that we simply, O God, belong to You, Father. That we seek, O God, what You have purposed, Father. We seek to see Your will being demonstrated in our lives. We seek to realize Your purposes, O God. So bless us, Father, that we may bless You with everything that unfolds in our life, with everything that unfolds in our state of being, Father. That our state of being will be a construct that hallows You, Father, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are the house of Christ. And the house of Christ is built on seven pillars. Seven pillars of the anointing. The intent of that anointing is to unveil you as a perfect tabernacle so that God can manifest His name, manifest His presence within you, and unfold what He means to unfold in your life. The anointing that God means to perfect and complete into your state of being is also meant to be demonstrated through the gifting that God has for your life. The gift mix that God has for your life. So today we want to just introduce the idea of how God has structured the giftings for us. At least in this age in which we live in. Now it could be very different in the age to come. But right now we just want to talk about what God has opened to us in His Word. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now before we read this passage from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, I would like to remind you about Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So the son is God's gift to us. And in the son, God has given us a gift mix. And that gift mix is going to be developed in our lives in all eternity. So it's very important for us to get our bearings right at the beginning. Because you know that you have to build on the right foundations. And so build on the right foundations, all right? So Christ is the gift. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In Christ, God has given us a gift mix. And that gift mix grows in us in measures. In measures of what I would call the fullness of Christ. Measures of the fullness of Christ. Because Christ is the gift. But God unveils Christ the gift to us in many different forms. And ultimately He has designed each one of us to possess a gift mix. In James chapter 1 verse 17 it is said that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. In John 16 verse 15 Jesus Christ says, all that the Father has is mine. And the Holy Spirit will take of that and He will open it to you or disclose it to you. So everything that the Father has, everything that comes from the Father, comes in the reality of the Son. And everything that God has given us in the Son comes to us through the Holy Spirit. So everything that stands in the abiding, every gift mix that is meant to stand in your life forever, is built to you in and by and through the living God. It does not come from any other source. God may use a vessel to impart a gifting to you. But that vessel is just a vessel. The gifting comes entirely from God. And you're responsible for that gifting before God. And it's so crucial that you understand that and know that. That you don't misuse the gift because you're going to be held accountable for that gift. Because we're all stewards of the manifold graces of God. So let's read verse 7 again. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. It must be understood that Christ's gift is given to us by grace and not by merit. So if something is given to you by grace, you cannot one day stand up and say that you paid the price for it. It's very important to understand that. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Jesus Christ did something that no other creature in the universe could do. He led captivity captive. And on the basis of having led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. So those gifts are given to us exclusively in the name of Jesus. They're not given to us in the name of a denomination. They're not given to us in the name of a preacher man. They're not given to us because of the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or anybody else. They're given to us in one name alone, the name of Jesus Christ. Now this expression, verse 9, he ascended. What does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? Now what does that mean? Jesus Christ paid a price so that you will have a gift. And so you are accountable for that gift based on what Jesus has done for you. So when we exercise that gift, beware witness to the fact that Jesus paid the price for you and I to function in gifts that God has given us. Verse 10, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now the purpose of the gift is so that Jesus Christ will fill all things. You have to understand that very clearly and very graphically in your hearts. The purpose of the gift is to demonstrate Jesus Christ. Whatever the gift, we may call it the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to demonstrate Jesus Christ. So that Jesus Christ will fill all things. Not you and I will fill all things. Alright? So let's cross-reference here to understand what the church is all about. Right? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. And verse 23. And he, the Father, put all things in subjection under his feet, that is Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus Christ, as head over all things to the church. And what is the church? Verse 23 says, the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is charged with filling all in all with the fullness of Jesus Christ. The church is a living expression of the fullness of Jesus Christ expressed. That's what the church is all about. And in the fullness of Jesus Christ, the church has got authority. Without the fullness of Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as a church, and neither is there anything called authority either. Understand that? That stands collectively, it also stands individually. So if you and I do not give cognizance to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the way in which we function in the gift that God has given us, then we are way out of line. Because the purpose for which the gift is given is so that he might fill all things. That's the word of God. Okay. Having said that, let's look at how God has structured his giftings. All right, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. We sometimes call this the fivefold ministry. But these five offices are all gifts, and these five offices define the leadership of the church. These five offices represent the leadership of the church. And they represent the leadership of the church in different front lines. An evangelist operates in a frontline ministry in a certain context. A pastor operates in a frontline ministry in the context of a local church. A teacher is involved in bringing forth right doctrine. The prophet is involved in frontline ministry in bringing the church to its destiny, to the understanding of what it is God has purposed for individuals as well as for the church. The prophet is the seer. The prophet is the oracle of God. The prophet is to speak the word of God and give direction to the church. He's meant to give direction to individuals. The apostle is the one who leads the church in bringing forth what God has for it in the fullness of Jesus Christ. The apostle represents leadership. In the ultimate sense, if you look at the world today, God is restoring the apostles' ministry. There are lots of people who claim to be apostles. Time will tell us who are apostles and who are not apostles. But fundamentally, you will understand that all of the apostles declared themselves to be bondservants of Jesus Christ. And all of the apostles built their entire ministry to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find Paul declaring that. You will find John declaring that. You will find Peter declaring that. Right? And it's repeated over and over again. The purpose is to see Jesus Christ as the head. So we need to understand that the fivefold ministry is charged with leading the church. And that leadership is very important. Okay, because that leadership is charged with doing something very fundamental. So verse 12 describes it. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So apostleship is a gift. The prophet's office is a gift. The pastor's office is a gift. The evangelist's office is a gift. The teacher's office is a gift. Now in all of these offices, God it means to develop an anointing. He means to develop an anointing. So if you are called to a fivefold ministry, your life is crucial for the well-being of the church. Because God is using you in order to describe an anointing based on the office in which you stand in. And through your life and through your ministry, God will communicate that anointing, giving expression to the gift that God has invested in you. So the pastor will always have a shepherd's heart, and the anointing of a pastor standing in his office will bring a shepherd's heart to all of his congregation. That anointing will flow. And that pastoral anointing will flow into the body of Christ. And they will unveil that anointing in many different kinds of giftings. In the same token, an evangelist will manifest an evangelistic anointing. And that evangelistic anointing will enable members in the body of Christ to go out and reach out and touch people. Bring them into the church. The pastoral anointing will enable people to shepherd the people who are in church. The teacher's anointing will flow so that people are taught. People will teach different aspects of what God has revealed to them. That doesn't mean they stand in the fivefold office, but it means that the anointing will flow and that teaching will flow. So the prophet will release prophecy. The gifts of prophecy, the anointing to prophesy. Speaking the right words into people's lives. So crucial for the building of the church. The apostle will give you a body perspective so that you don't end up thinking that you are the only church in town. That you understand that you are part of a larger body. That you don't live in isolation. And neither do you conduct ministry in isolation. That there is a responsibility of each church fulfilling its purpose so that the overall church is blessed. Because God's purposes are manifested uniquely in each part of the body of Christ. So that flow of the anointing is very crucial. And anybody who has a gift inclination towards that sort of an anointing will pick it up. You catch the anointing from your heart. So if you have an inclination to care for people, you will pick up the pastoral anointing very quickly. And it will enable you to flow into those areas where you have a desire or you have an inclination in which to minister to. You see, God has defined the leadership to enable the saints to be equipped. In the same token, the saints must understand if the leadership is not right, you're going to have serious problems. Because the anointing flows, right, top down. So it's very important that you pray for your leadership and you understand that your leadership is very crucial to what flows into that particular body, part of the body that your leadership is called to affect or to bless. All right? So the fivefold is charged with equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Right? Equip the saints for the work of ministry. The word ministry is used in the New King James Bible. In the New American Standard, it is used the work of service. So ministry is servanthood, service. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now the American Standard uses the word building. So edifying means we are building the body of Christ. So the saints are part and parcel of this process of building the body of Christ. So ministry means building the body of Christ. When you build an individual, you're building the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of individual members. You minister to people who are members of that body. You build the body of Christ by ministering to that person's specific needs. So you need to understand that we are called to minister, all right, to serve, all right, to understand the needs of individual members of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So what will bring unity in the church is faith. And what is faith? Substance. Whose substance? The substance of Jesus Christ. Unity is not going to come out of ecumenical movements. Unity is only going to come through the substance of the faith. And that substance has to be of Jesus Christ, because we are by definition His body. And that body is defined by the substance of His fullness. So it says here, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see? Right? So we have to be molded in the fullness of the Son to become a united body. And so we are charged with always filling all things with the fullness of Jesus Christ. You cannot build a church by just teaching people doctrines. You can only build a church if you build them into a reality of a relationship with God in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You cannot do ministry just by thinking that if you teach a principle and if you teach doctrine that people are going to know and understand the truth. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the life. And so we need to understand what we are ministering ultimately. We minister Jesus Christ. The evangelist ministers Jesus Christ so that people will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and become members of the body of Christ. The pastor takes that baby Christian and he brings him to maturity. The teacher comes and the teacher builds that young Christian, right, into the deeper things of God. The prophet speaks the right sort of words so that Christian will understand the directions God has for him. The apostle makes sure that the foundations on which the church is built are the right kind of foundations. The apostles bring that young Christian into the reality of being part of a body. Because we cannot be part of the body of Christ thinking of ourselves as individuals. We have to become members one of another. There has to be this body consciousness. It's very important in ministry. Because many people cannot minister across denominational boundaries. It's very simple why it's like that. Because they are very denominationally oriented. God didn't create any denomination. His church is His body, His temple, where His presence is meant to manifest. And so the apostolic anointing is designed to bring that body consciousness into being, so that we become members of the body of Christ in the real sense of the word. That people understand that we are called to uphold the name of Jesus. We are called to grow into His fullness. And only in His fullness can we become the body of Christ. So everything in the body of Christ is established on one name, the name of Jesus Christ. If it's not, then it will always be a body divided. It will always be a body with contradictory desires. The unity of the faith, substance. The substance has to be of the fullness of Jesus Christ. The intent is that we will become a perfect man. Not a small intent. Not a small intent. So maturity is very much a part of the gospel. We can't just bring people into church and keep on telling them salvation for the next 20 years. We will kill them. And just telling them you need to get water baptized and you just need to repent and keep repeating it for the next 20 years. You will kill people. They have to rise up and get into a purpose. Right? And people don't have a purpose, they die. The Church of Jesus Christ is about life, it's about growth. It's about all of us realizing a purpose in God. When a Christian does not have a purpose in God, he cannot grow in God. So you need to understand clearly what are the boundaries of your calling. If we only have pastors running a church, we will have a church that is entirely insular looking. Just looking at the four walls and thinking about how to increase the membership. That's not what we are called to be. There is a growth of the body. God is doing different things in different parts of the body of Christ. There has to be a cross-pollination of the anointings that God is manifesting in peculiar churches all over the world. We can't live in isolation. See, everything is communicated by the anointing. We've got to catch the anointing. We've got to understand what God is doing. We can't think that we are the only church in town and we know all truth. That's absurd. Truth, by the way, is an attribute of God. It is not an attribute of man. It is not an attribute of the intellect of man either. It flows out of God, and God does things far beyond your imagination and my imagination. So whenever we try and box up God so that we can understand what He is doing, we are doing something that is fundamentally incorrect. Because truth will always grow. Truth will result in growth. The body of Christ is meant to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ that will fill all in all. That's a humongous reality. And so we need to understand that that growth process is there. That's why we need prophets to minister. Right prophets. Wrong prophets can cause all kinds of havoc. We need right prophets to open people to what God wants to do in their lives. We need right kind of teaching so that people will be able to move into that, what the prophet is speaking. Just because the prophet speaks doesn't mean you quit your job tomorrow morning and say, I'm going here. Right? You have to be taught and you've got to understand what it is God wants to do with you. Faith has an evidence, guys. Faith is not simply make-believe. Faith is not emotions. Faith is rock-steady evidence. Unshakable evidence of what God wants to do with you. It is not emotional mumbo-jumbo. It's real rock-steady stuff. It has to be manifested in your heart by revelation that you know and understand what it is God has called you to become. The apostolic is there to give you an understanding of where you stand as part of the body of Christ. What is the role that you play? Don't ever think that you are the only one in town, that you know everything. You don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. Only God knows how He is building His church. So you need to always understand that, and you always need to understand the boundary conditions on your calling. And you always need to understand that the people you minister to have to be ministered to by other people too, because you don't have everything. It is foolish to think that you are protecting the flock. If you are a pastor, you have to discern what is the right thing that is needed for your people to grow. In the guise of protecting them, you can stop them from growing. In the guise of being afraid of wrong things, you may not allow them to grow at all. Can you imagine if we were not allowed to walk because, you know, we may fall and break a leg? Can you imagine now you are 35 years old and you are still in your baby cot because your mother was afraid to let you walk? In case you fell down and broke your leg. What an absurd thought. Falling down is part of the growing process. So when you come into Christ, it doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean you don't do foolish things. It is all part of the growing process. You pick yourself up, you realize from your mistakes, and you realize what it is God wants you to do. That correction process is there continuously. It is part of the growth process, and we've got to understand this. At the same token, you can't let every Tom, Dick, and Harry to come and minister in your church either. Now that's why in every church there has to be a prophetic aspect to that church. Why? Because prophets see things before they happen, right? They open directions for the church. They bring warning to the church. So it's so important for us to know that the body of Christ that we are a part of is a very dynamic entity. It's the most complex and most dynamic entity in the entire universe. It is the most brilliant idea in God's heart. So the body is not orchestrated with the intelligence of man. It is orchestrated in the will of God. And we have to be very sensitive to that. All right, so we have the body ministries, and the body ministries are for the work of ministry to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, which is of the substance of Jesus Christ, and therefore you will have the knowledge of the Son of God, because the substance of Jesus Christ will enable you to know the Son of God so that you become a mature man. In the King James it says a perfect man. So the substance of Jesus Christ will make you a perfect man. The substance of Jesus Christ will make you a mature man. It will come by itself. That's why all things are configured in Christ Jesus. That's why we call Him the true man. And so we grow to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. All right, so everything has to grow to the fullness of Christ Jesus. The process starts with the evangelist and it has to continue so that there is that fullness of Christ that is formed in us. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Who is talking? The apostle is talking. I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Why is he saying, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you? Because the work hasn't been brought to a point of a measure of completion until you understand what it means to be formed in Christ. So always remember this. We can't build a church just based on social gatherings and feel good agendas and gatherings, and you have to build people to maturity in the fullness of Christ Jesus. If you don't, people are going to be in big trouble. So many people come into the body of Christ the right way, but they are never allowed to mature because people think it's too deep to mature. So we keep just telling them about prosperity and God will bless you and God will keep you and God will watch over you as if God is there to serve you all the time. And that's blatant false teaching. That's blatant false teaching. Who serves whom? Right? You are brought into the body of Christ so that you can learn how to serve God. And in learning how to serve God, you grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, because there's no other means by which you can serve God. And that is the means by which you mature. Yeah? So there are many different kinds of ways in which we minister, right? As members of the body of Christ. For example, as a mother and father, you are a minister. What is the ministry that a mother and father have? It's a pastoral ministry. What are you shepherding? You're shepherding the basic building block of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is not just playing a role of ferrying your children to tuitions and coming back and thinking that you are being a parent. It is understanding that your children have a role before God. And you are called to shepherd them into that role. And you can't pass the buck to somebody else. A father pastors in a certain way, a mother pastors in a different way. Put the two together and it's a complementary role. And in that simple picture, God tells you how the Church of Jesus Christ is to be shepherded. So you may have a hospitality ministry. Somebody else may have an administrative gift. Somebody may have a healing gift. Somebody may have a gift of worship. Somebody may have a gift of faith. Somebody may have a gift of prophecy. If the pastoral anointing is operating, all of those will help build the church. If the pastoral anointing is manifesting and you are prophesying to a person, you will always speak words that will shepherd a person into a growth process. So that's how we grow. That's how we grow. So the body ministry and the fivefold ministry, right? The body ministry is for everyone. The fivefold ministry is for those whom God has called to stand in that ministry. And that is true at least for this age. Now, how it's going to be for the next age, I'm not going to speculate. But for this age, that's how God has designed it to be. The fivefold ministry to lead. The body ministry to realize the anointings that flow out of that fivefold gifting and utilize that anointing to function in the proper gift mix, to function properly in the gift mix. As a believer, you can catch an anointing from many different men of God. But you need to know who is a man of God and who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. But if you know that someone is a man of God and he's really doing something that is of God, you can always catch an anointing from him. Right? Go and ask the Lord to give you that anointing. On 1st January 1990, I walked into a church and I saw this pastor preaching, Bible in hand, no notes. I stood at the back of the church. I watched him preach. I just stood there and watched him and I said, Lord, this is how I want to preach. No notes in hand, just Bible in hand. I didn't catch the anointing immediately, but within 9 months, I was in ministry. Within 9 months, I was flowing in the anointing that that pastor had. Now that's how the body of Christ grows. Now the anointing that was nurtured in that pastor's life took many years. But in 9 months, I was flowing in the same anointing that that pastor had. Just before, 1 week before, a few days before I started ministry, I just went to him and asked him that, I told him that the Lord is telling me that I need to go into ministry. Can you just pray for me? He was very tired. He was very uninterestedly put out his hand and laid it on my head and the anointing of the Lord fell on me. I don't think he even knew that. And I was anointed for ministry. That's the only time I was anointed for ministry. And from that, God took it and he started developing it and he started causing it to grow. So you need to understand that you catch the anointing, all right? And the anointing, catching the anointing, involves your own free will. So many Christians are cheated out of what God has for them because they are afraid. Because they feel intimidated, because they think, oh, I'm not good enough. All those are falsehoods. Because God never expects you to be good enough. God always tells you, I am good enough to make you what I want you to be. That's what the Christian call is all about. It comes from God, it is built by God, it is developed by God, it is manifested by God. Anything that is not of God is of the flesh. It is not real. It is a man trying to cook up something out of his own religious zeal, and it will never stand the test of time. If it's the real thing, it will always be of God, and you will know it. Because you will know that you are doing things by the power of God. The mere fact of you speaking, you will realize is by the power of God. And that's the key. That's what you need to see and take hold of from your heart. Always understand, right? If you know that there is a good and faithful man of God, go ask him to pray for you. But you better know he's a good and faithful man of God. You don't want the wrong person laying hands on you. Yeah? Because you need to know and understand, you need to grow, you need to discern, you need to understand, right? As a pastor of this church, it is my job to teach you so that you will be able to discern and know and understand when you hear somebody speaking, whether he's a man of God or whether he's a bluff. Yeah? That's why we talk about the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because the moment you know that something is not right, it will jar on the inside. The moment you hear someone speak, you should be able to know whether he is half-baked or whether he is the real thing. Or whether he is a total con man. You need to know that. It is part of your maturity process. Just because so-and-so calls himself pastor so-and-so and doctor so-and-so doesn't mean he's a man of God. So you need to understand by the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this man someone I can go and be ministered to by? You need to know that. Not based on somebody's opinion. See, your heart plays a very powerful part. It is like the way the devil tempts you. If the devil comes and tells you something, and you open your heart and you accept it, you have a problem, isn't it? Yeah? There's money on the table and the devil says, it's only, nobody will know you have taken it. You need it. And you can imagine how many good things you can do with it. You can bless the church by just taking that money. Right? And just once. Yeah? And you've opened the wrong doors, isn't it? Yeah? That's a good piece of work. If I presented that work as my work, I will get this promotion. After all, the other guy is a non-Christian. What's the problem? Plenty of problems, brother. Right is right and wrong is wrong. If you're not good enough for the job, you're not good enough for the job. You can't steal somebody else's work and present it as your own. That's a thiever. That's a thief. And there's only one thief in the universe, and he is called the devil. If you want to build a partnership with him, you need to understand that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yeah? So we need to understand and know and discern, right? How do you know and discern? From your inward spiritual senses. You discern right from wrong through your inward spiritual senses. Where do you find that? You find that in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. I'm reading from the New American Standard. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What is the word of righteousness? The word that enables you to do the right thing. Right? What is milk? Milk is just a word that tells you about something. So when you become a Christian, it tells you what Jesus did. He did a miracle. The blind were healed. That is the milk of the word. You realize that Jesus went about healing the sick. The word of righteousness is when you start going about and healing the sick. When the righteousness of your Lord starts manifesting through your life, that is what communicates as the word of righteousness. Can you see that? So the word of righteousness is for the mature. You're no longer just talking about Jesus. You are walking into the reality of expressing him through your life. That is the word of righteousness. All right, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You can only tell the difference between good and evil from your inward spiritual senses. You can't tell the difference between good and evil from your intellect. You cannot tell the difference between good and evil from your mind. You can only do it from your inward spiritual senses. And those inward spiritual senses are built out of the Word of God. Okay? So as God builds you for the ministry, he's building you on the inside. He's using the Word. And part of the Word of God says that you are a gifted people. Part of the word of God says that you are an anointed people. So you need to understand that the word of God includes experiential dimensions, like moving in the gifts, that's part of God's word. Seeing visions, that is part of God's word. Having dreams, that is part of God's word. Having a witness within you that enables you to discern and know and understand and gauge. All that is part and parcel of God's word. And you need to understand that. So the Word of God is not just telling you a principle. The Word of God is fashioning you into the instrument that God wants you to be. That Word of God is going to fashion you into the gift mix that God has for you. So if God tells you that the Holy Spirit imparts to you the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of God will develop that word of wisdom within you. All right, so we have broken up the gift that comes to us in the measure of Christ into two categories, the leadership category and the body category, right? There is a third category of giftings that are called commonly the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to anybody. People who operate in the fivefold ministry can have the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those who operate in the body ministries can also have the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those nine gifts of the Holy Spirit will manifest according to the anointing that is operating. If you are in a church that is fundamentally pastoral, then you will see that your giftings will flow in that pastoral direction. Right? So if you have a gift inclination to move in the prophetic, you need to move somewhere along the line under the wings of a practicing prophet. So that you will learn how to move beyond just a pastoral inclination. Do you understand that? So you see, the body of Christ is dynamic. The body of Christ is very dynamic. And you need to understand and know there are good prophetic ministries around the world. Some of their articles I send around to you. Some of their email addresses I send to you so that you will pick up the prophetic, because I'm not a prophet. Francis Frangipani is a prophet. Right? His writings are very prophetic. Rick Joyner is a prophet. I think they are good prophets. So we encourage you to read. If you have that prophetic inclination inside of you, open your heart and receive. It's very easy to receive. You may not meet the guy, but as you read what he has written, you can ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I need to move into this line. I need to understand it. I need to discern it. Please impart it to me as I read. Yeah? You're not a zombie. You're a son of God in the making. You need to make decisions. You need to understand what it is God has for you and go get it. So what are you called to be? You need to understand that. You can go into a prophet's meeting and know that it's not for you. Because you're not, it's just not there. That's fine. We are not all called to be prophets, although we are all called to be a prophetic people. So you need to know that and you need to move into that, all right? So there is so much that God has given us in this gift mix, okay? So the anointing operates through the gift that God has given you. The anointing and the gift mix go to give expression to the calling that God has on your life. And I want to remind you right off the bat that nothing in the kingdom of God is static. What you have today is not what is going to be there in 20 years. So be faithful in the small beginnings that God has for you. And always keep your heart open to what God is telling you. When you read the word of God, right? It may be 10 years from today that you suddenly get awakened to the fact that Elijah was a wonderful man of God. And suddenly you have a drawing towards what Elijah did. Now what's God trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you that I want you to move into the prophetic. There are some some characters in the Bible that you can read about and read about and read about, and it doesn't make one blooming impact on your life. There are others that just ignite your imagination. What's God trying to tell you? If you look at the fundamental law of God, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. There it is, God tells you how he talks with you. Your heart, your soul, your imagination, dianoia. Mind is dianoia, the imaginative mind. If something captures your imagination, God is trying to tell you that that's something inside there for you. But of course, there are things of the world can also capture your imagination. You must know the difference. That's why you must be sensitive to your inward spiritual senses. If there is peace in your heart, that peace, right, demonstrates that you, that God is telling you that it's okay. You may not understand the whole thing, but he's just telling you it's okay. When there is a stirring inside of you, God is trying to tell you, get up and go after it. I want you to go after that. If there is fear and frightened, and you're fearful and you're frightened, that's from your fallen soul. That's not of God. Because the anointing that you have in Jesus Christ is the anointing of the Lion and the Lamb. Jesus Christ was never afraid. All right. So we have identified very briefly that there are two classes of giftings. And then there is a common reality of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to those two classes of giftings. Okay? When I use the word class, I don't mean that one is superior to the other. All right? Because ministry means servanthood. That woman who gave two mites may not have been standing in any office, but Jesus Christ held her in very high regard. Those Pharisees who brought bags of gold were standing in high office. And Jesus looked at that woman with two mites, and he looked at her at a far higher plane than he looked at those Pharisees bringing their bags of gold. I hope you understand what we are saying here. Ultimately, your status in God is defined with who God is to you, okay? Not by the office you stand in. There are a lot of people we are going to be surprised when we see them in heaven, because they're going to be standing in positions that we never imagined they would be standing in. Why? Because simply because they were faithful to God. They did what he wanted them to do. And that's the key. You do what God wants you to do. Nothing less, nothing more. Praise the Lord. There's so much that God has for us. So, Christian life is very exciting. I hope you understand that. You know, you've got a whole universe that is going to be open to you in all eternity. Everything is available to you. Go out and discover what God has for you. Open your heart. Read the Word of God. If there is anything for you that God has for you, it is described in this book. And the Holy Spirit means to quicken this, what He has, what God the Father has ordained for you. He means to quicken it to you in Jesus' name. Yeah? And what He quickens into you will enable you to put on Christ. And as you put on Christ, you will begin to realize what it is God has for you. It's very exciting. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about what God has for me. I don't know. I have some ideas, but there's so much to realize. I know from what I have received from God that it's a continual growth process that never ends. Now, where have you had such an experience? In God, it's always like that. It's a continual growth experience. Because everything in God is life. And the life of God grows in you. The truth sets you free. That's why it says you soar in the wings of the Spirit of God. What's God trying to tell you? That the heights is where He wants you to function from. The Bible has got so many things that are hidden here and there. Go after those things and ask the Lord to open it to you. Don't sit down and look at yourself and say, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. That's where we stop growing. Open your heart and ask the Lord to start shaping your heart. Ask Him to shape your thoughts. Ask Him to teach you how to think right. Don't assume that because you've got 2 degrees that you know how to think. Because God is not thinking the way you think. In the book of Isaiah it is written, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so is the difference between your thoughts and my thoughts, says the Lord. So is the difference between my ways and your ways. So the key to growth is how you respond to God. How you allow Him to enable you to grow. There's a whole universe in prayer. There's a whole universe to discover in worship. There is a whole universe of reality to discover in the prophetic. There's a whole universe to discover in just the use of the gift of tongues. There's a whole universe of reality in the gift of the pastor. So many things to discover. So ministry is exciting. Ministry is what gives meaning to your life. Finally, you're not constrained. Finally, you are free. Finally, you can grow. And all things are possible to those who love Him. Things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. All that God has for those who love Him. That's what God's inviting you to go into. Don't worry about, oh, I'm not called to the fivefold. So what? What God has started with you is something immense. I mean, Stephen started in ministry, waiting on tables. Yet he went on to be a fivefold minister. Sometimes God does that. He's just testing your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for the gift mix that you have for each one of us. That our journey with you, Lord, is to discover that gift mix. To discover, O God, how it is that you mean to unveil the calling that is upon our lives. There is a calling on each one of our lives. And there is a work you mean to open to our inward parts. Enable us to take hold of what you have for us. Enable us to understand that with our God all things are possible. That although we have many weaknesses and many character flaws, Lord, you are more than able to bring forth a new creation. You are more than able to transform our hearts and our minds in conformance to Christ. That the key for us to understand that is that if we receive of the substance of Jesus Christ, we will change. The change will come by itself. The desire to change will come by itself. It is written in your word that your spirit in us will cause us to walk in your statutes, Lord. And that's the key. When you cause us to do something, Lord, what we will realize as a consequence will be something powerful and wonderful. So Lord, ignite our imaginations. Lord, stir our hearts. Open us, O God, to who you are, rather than looking at what we have been and where we have been and how we have failed. Open our hearts to understand that you are God, that nothing is impossible with you, that you are God and you are our Father. You are God and you are our Savior. You are God and you are our Redeemer. You are God and you are our Teacher. You are God and you are our Healer. You are God and you are indeed our righteousness. You are God and you are our Creator. You are God and you are our Maker. Nothing will be impossible to us, Lord. We have gone, O Lord, through a phase of understanding, O God, what your name means to us. And so, Father God, we understand, O God, that nothing is impossible, O God, when we set our eyes on you. Open us, O God, to the glory of your greatness. Enable us to understand, O God, that we are not talking of the mediocrity of the human race. We are talking of the greatness of the living God. It is in the greatness of the living God that we are called to be sons. It is in the greatness of the living God that we are called to be eagles in high places, O God. It is, O God, in the calling of the living God that we are called to be a royal priesthood, Father. A prophetic people, O God. Morning stars, Father. A blessing to nations, Father. Having a capacity to bless nations, O God. All that is beyond us. But all that is written in your word. So Father God, bless us. Bless us, O God, with the truth that will set us free. Bless us, O God, with a purpose-driven life, O God. A life purposed in Jesus Christ. A life purposed by the Holy Spirit. A life purposed, O God, in the call of Jesus over our lives. A life purposed and expressed, O God, through the gift mix that you mean to develop in our lives. Enable us to always remember that all things are to be developed in the name of Jesus. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. We thank you for your word, and we bless you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.